some of you know that Larissa and I spent the Thanksgiving holiday in New York City, and of course Seth was with us, and we did a lot of sightseeing. One of the things that probably will stick in my mind forever is the memorial at Ground Zero, these two gigantic pits in the ground that they have now made out of beautiful marble, and there's the names of all the people that died there inscribed around these memorials, and thousands of people standing shoulder to shoulder around these pits, not saying a word. It's just deeply silent, and you know that people look at this as being a very important place. And while we were celebrating Thanksgiving, kind of joking with some folks at the Mixed Nuts household, and you know who I'm talking about, and one of the ladies said to me, you know, one of the things I'd like to know is what would have happened if it wasn't three wise men that came that day, but it was three wise women. We believe that if it was three wise women, they wouldn't have taken so long to get there because they would have asked for directions, and they'd have made it on time, and they would have brought more practical gifts. And my reply to that was, well, even if they made it there on time, they still would have been late because it would have taken them forever to park the camel. Well, things probably would have been a bit different, I do believe. One of the things we do know is that they brought gifts. Okay, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, and we know kind of what those things are all about. We'll talk about that. But how many of you right now are wondering how you're going to survive this year? One of the more telling pictures I've seen from the way we celebrate Christmas so far is a scene of three people in a Best Buy store with a television, one of those big flat panel TVs, in a box, and they're trying to drag it out of the arms of a woman who has sprawled herself over the box, and she's hugging it like this, like, you know, like, this is going to be the thing that's going to make my Christmas if I just get that one television. I think that we can have a better than usual Christmas. And my hope is that through these series of messages I'm going to be bringing over the Christmas season, most of which have been written and submitted to Lynn. Yay. I think I still owe you one or two, right? Okay. I want to look at a couple things that you and I can do that will help make Christmas more survivable. Okay. The message this morning is entitled Surviving Christmas, and it comes from Matthew chapter 2. So if you please turn to Matthew 2. Everybody got Matthew chapter 2? Reading from the NIV. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has born the King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be my shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from the exact time the star had appeared, and he said, and he sent to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by a different route. A couple things we can draw out of this passage this morning. And the first thing is that can help us have a survivable Christmas, a better than usual Christmas, is if we seek the right thing. Now, I don't know how many of you are thinking this morning that if you get that flat panel television and wrestle it from the arms of a lady in a Best Buy somewhere, that's going to make your Christmas good. But if that is what you're thinking, I would dare say that you're looking at Christmas and you're not doing it right. We need to come seeking the right thing. Okay? What is the right thing? Well, what do you want? If somebody was to ask you, what do you want out of Christmas this year, how would you answer the question? Would you answer the question and say, well, gee, I'd love some snow. Everybody knows that we're dreaming of a white Christmas, you know? Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, none of that? Okay. How about some more family get-togethers? If I was to ask some people, they would say, you know, the thing I would love to get out of Christmas is some holiday spirit. You know, how many would love to have some holiday spirit for Christmas this year? Would somebody please tell me what holiday spirit is? Because for some reason I'm not quite getting it. What is a holiday spirit? How about finding the perfect present to give to somebody else? Do you think that finding the perfect present to give to somebody else is going to make your Christmas survivable? Well, how about getting the right present from somebody else? How many of you would say, yeah, man, there's something I would really love to get for Christmas. And if somebody really gives me one of these things, I'm going to be really, really happy. Yeehaw. I can't wait. How many of you have ever been disappointed when it comes to Christmas? Any of you ever been disappointed? Okay, we got Candy, Janice, and Vicky. Okay, and Tanya, and Robert. Okay, now Anita. Now the hands are starting to go up. Okay, Dave, gotcha. What has disappointed you about Christmas? Well, we're usually disappointed with Christmas when it doesn't give us what we expect, when it doesn't deliver the thing, you know, that we think it's supposed to give us this year. And we've all been disappointed because, well, we were expecting something. And this is really the problem. When we're disappointed, it usually means that we've got some kind of an expectation that wasn't fulfilled. Okay? So, those of you that raise your hands, what were you expecting that you didn't get? I remember my first thoroughly disappointing Christmas. It was the Christmas following the Christmas where I discovered that my stepdad was Santa Claus in my house. I discovered it because of my Dick Tracy detective kit that I had gotten the previous year. And my Dick Tracy detective kit had a fingerprinting set in it. And I fingerprinted and found out that my stepdad was the one eating the oatmeal raisin cookies and drinking the milk. And I was ticked off. And you know what I got next year for Christmas? Footy pajamas. Footy pajamas. With the little plastic pads on the bottom to make sure you didn't slip when you're walking across the floor. You think it's funny. I'm still doing counseling because of those footy pajamas. Boy, was I disappointed. I wanted a mini bike, and I got, well, disappointed because my expectations weren't met. What are you expecting? What is it that if Christmas doesn't deliver to you this year and you don't get this thing you're expecting, what is it that will disappoint you? The three wise men can show us how we can make Christmas better than usual, maybe even survivable. Because when they came to Jerusalem, they were looking for an opportunity to worship the one who was going to be born the King of the Jews. And so when they came to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I would suggest to you that if you put Jesus first and you come and expect Christmas to be the time that you were going to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you're not going to walk away disappointed. But if you're looking for that material thing that's going to do it for you, well, we're all in big trouble. This may be the first year that I can think of in my 57 years that I won't be exchanging gifts because my wife's having surgery. That's going to take all of our funds because of deductibles and all that kind of stuff. And it's going to force us to celebrate Christmas, I think, the way that it's supposed to be celebrated. And it is by celebrating a person who is Jesus. The wise men came looking for the right thing. And they came looking in the right place. It says in verses 5 and 6 that in Bethlehem and Judea they replied, "For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." They came looking for Christ. And because of that, we can say that they were looking for the right thing. They came seeking the right thing. If they had been looking for family events and snow and, you know, Bing Crosby singing White Christmas and having the perfect meal or having the perfect fellowship or all that kind of stuff, we're going to be disappointed. Face it, if we come to the perfect family gathering, as soon as we walk in, it's not going to be perfect anymore. Because we're not perfect, are we? Well, maybe you are. But Jeremiah 29 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." And I have spoken with people and they said, "You know, I have gone and I've asked God to show himself to me and he never really has, and so I don't believe in God." And I point them to this scripture. And I'll say, well, if you're sincere about that, then the reason why you didn't see him, because you didn't seek him with all your heart. You know, kind of a nice little apologetic verse there. But the truth is, folks, we will get what we look for. If we come looking for presents, that's all we're going to get. And believe me, most of the presents you get are going to end up in a yard sale next September. I was reading a story in Reader's Digest. You know, the Laughter's the Best Medicine section of Reader's Digest a couple years ago. And it tells a story about a woman who posted her Christmas wish list on the refrigerator. And all it said on it was, "Give me something that will make me look sexy and beautiful." And I'm sure her husband seized the opportunity. And when she opened her package, she found that he had given her an exercise bicycle. Imagine that. And then his list said, "I want something that will go from 0 to 300 in 2 seconds. And found that she had given him a bathroom scale. Seeking the right things is great, but what is Christmas without gifts? Right? Yeah? You love giving gifts? You love giving them? You love getting them? Well, in all of our giving, number two, we need to give the right thing. We need to seek the right thing, and we need to give the right thing. What can we give? Well, the Magi came to Jesus' house with a bunch of gifts, and they're pretty appropriate gifts, because the wise men came, and as part of their worship, they gave. And I believe that that's an essential part of worshiping, is giving. And you might think, okay, here comes the tithing part of the message. No. Because the first thing that we need to give if we want to worship the King properly is our hearts. If we give the offering plate, but our heart is saying, you know, I hate doing this, God would rather we didn't give at all. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Well, that word cheerful actually is translated hilarious. He loves people who give till it feels great. But when God gave, what did he give us? Well, the wise men came and they brought gold. Gold was a gift for a king. And so when they gave the gift of gold, it was because they're recognizing that this baby who was in the manger was going to be the King of Kings. Okay? The Lord of Lords. You read about that along with Don and Ginny as they were giving their candle lighting thing this morning. They gave frankincense, which was a gift for a priest. Frankincense was actually used in the temple as an incense. And it symbolized the prayers of God's people. It was something you would give to a priest. And so he got a gift that you would normally give to a king, and he got gifts that would normally be given to a priest. But he was also given myrrh, and myrrh was something that was used in the embalming process. Myrrh was something you would give to the dead. So we find in these gifts, gifts for a king, gifts for a priest, and also gifts for the dead. Fragrant ointment was often used in order to anoint the body and embalm the body once it died. And it was given for the purpose of keeping the smell down. And was also given in honor to God. And so when they gave to Jesus, they gave the gifts of a king, a priest, and one who was dead. And the Bible says that when Mary and Joseph set baby Jesus in the manger, that they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. How many of you know what swaddling clothes are? Okay, well, I'll tell you what they are. They're narrow strips of cloth that look like bandages. And they are used in the mummification process. They're burial clothes. So when Mary and Joseph put baby Jesus in the manger, all they had was burial clothes, and they put him in those to keep him warm. So the whole birth of Christ was just prophetic from top to bottom, answering a whole bunch of prophecies. But when God saw humankind and he saw what our needs were, he gave. He gave his son. What do you think God would have done if he saw that the need of the human race was deep for more information? He would have sent them an educator. Right? If God had seen that we needed more technology, God would have sent a scientist. If he saw that our need was for more money, he would have sent an economist. When God looked down on mankind, if he had seen that we needed more pleasure, then he would have sent us some entertainers. But God, when he looked down on us, saw that our greatest need was for forgiveness. And so he sent a Savior instead. He gave the right thing. We ought to give an appropriate gift for Christmas this year. I'm not talking about something material. I'm saying that we should go into the world and give the world what they need this year. Let me ask you this question. What do the people around you need for Christmas this year? How about an iPad? Hey, iPad? I'm a guy. I love gadgets. Here's an iPad. Would that be the thing that people really need for Christmas? I'll tell you what I think the people around me need this year. They need some unconditional love. And they need some forgiveness. They need something to help them with the things they're hurting from. People need forgiveness because of things they've done to me. And they need to show people forgiveness for the things that other people have done to them. I firmly believe that a lot of people who are not very good at showing forgiveness don't know how. What if we go to them and say, yeah, I know you've been a skunk, but I want you to know that because of what Jesus did for me, I forgive you for what you did, and I no longer hold it against you. I want to floor somebody for Christmas, give them some love and forgiveness, even though they don't deserve it. Giving these kinds of gifts in a joyful and meaningful manner will totally revolutionize your Christmas. Because you're giving them something that they can't ever wear out or put out at a garage sale. Do you know what unforgiveness is? Unforgiveness, folks, is taking poison and expecting it to hurt somebody else. We need to show forgiveness. Show some love. Love people that don't love you back. Okay? Like Chad. Chad was a young boy who went to a public school, and he had some problems. He was suffering from a minor case of Down syndrome, and the other kids made fun of him mercilessly. Whenever it came time to pick kids to be on their teams in volleyball, Chad was always the last one, and well, he got picked, you know, not willingly, but because somebody had to pick him. And one year, Christmas came, and it was an observation in this school that everybody would bring Christmas cards and hand them out to all their classmates. Well, Chad had over 30 kids in his class, and he was struggling to write all these Christmas cards, so he decided he was going to start weeks ahead of time, and 2 weeks ahead of time, he started writing Christmas cards as best he could. And every night he would write a couple more Christmas cards and write a couple more Christmas cards. And as he went off to school on the day that they were going to celebrate and hand out Christmas cards in school, of course, this was back in the day when you could do that. Mom sent him off to school with a tear in her eye because she worried about whether anybody would give any Christmas cards to her son, Chad. And so she said, I'm going to take the curse off by making his favorite cookies, so that when he comes home from school, he's going to have his favorite cookies and a cold glass of milk to greet him when he walks in. The school day went by, and his mother worried about him all day long, and when the school bus pulled up in front of their house, off the bus jumps Chad, empty-handed, not a single Christmas card. And her heart broke. Mom said, oh, my poor son, what can I do to make this all better for him? And he comes running up to the front door. Then he throws the front door open, and his face is glowing. His chest is about ready to burst out of his shirt. And she says, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I made you your favorite cookies. And he said, not yet, Mom. I got to tell you something. I didn't forget a single person in my class. I gave a card to everybody and didn't miss one. What did little Chad do? He got it right. Didn't he? Didn't he get it right? No, I don't want a card for Christmas. I want PlayStation 46. What's the latest PlayStation now? The greatest joy in life, folks, is reserved for people who are more interested in giving than they are in getting. Hear what I just said? The greatest joy in life is reserved for people who are givers, not getters. I truly believe that. What is the best gift you can give this Christmas? Think about it for a second. What's the best gift that you can get this Christmas? Or give? Which would you rather do? Get something or give something? I'm here to tell you this morning, the best gift you can give this Christmas is yourself. Give yourself to somebody. I'm hoping that in this Christmas you're going to decide to pursue the things of Christmas that can't disappoint. Okay? If you're looking for snow and you've got to have a snowy, you know, white Christmas and it doesn't snow, what happens? You're disappointed. Oh, Christmas wasn't great this year. There was no snow on the ground. Oh, Christmas wasn't great this year because I missed Charlie Brown's Christmas. I don't even know when that's on, but I really want to watch it. I really didn't get the family, you know, get-together that I was hoping to get, so my Christmas was a failure. Or I didn't get the thing I wanted to get. I really wanted a new snow shovel or something, and I didn't get it. Is that going to make your Christmas a failure? Folks, if we are looking for things that have price tags and moving parts that are wrapped in bows and boxes and all that stuff, and these things don't last, what are we looking for? We're looking for stuff that's doomed to break. Things where moths come in, you know, and rust corrupts, and all that stuff that really, really, really doesn't matter much. But if you give yourself, and you give love, and you give forgiveness like Jesus gave, then you have not only done Christmas right, you've given the right things. There was a story back in 1994 of two Christian missionaries that answered the call to take Jesus to Russia. And they went to Russia, and they decided to show some kids in this orphanage exactly what Christmas meant. It's a true story. And as they tried to show the kids what Christmas meant, they broke out a manger scene. And they said, this is what Christmas is all about. Okay, it's about Jesus who was born, and he came to be our Savior. When he was born, his mom and dad put him in this little, feeding trough because there was no place else to put him. They had him in a stable because they're just, the hospital was full. Words to that effect. And then they gave each of the kids a piece of paper, and they said, next week when you come back, the church, I want you to have on this piece of paper, draw what you think Jesus is all about. And so the next week, a bunch of kids come back to class for Sunday school, and this little kid named Misha has really messed things up. Okay? Because when he handed in his picture of what Christmas was all about, there was a manger, and it had two babies in it. And everybody knows how many babies are supposed to be in the manger, right? How many are supposed to be? One, right? Well, there was two. And so these missionaries took little Misha aside and they said, Misha, maybe you got the assignment wrong. Maybe you didn't understand. We wanted you to write what Christmas is all about. What's this stuff? And Misha said very clearly, well, when God wanted to show his love for me, he gave me a Savior named Jesus. But it also says in Psalms that when your mother and father deny you, that God will take you up. And he will be your mother and father. So the second baby in the manger is me. Because Jesus came for me. So the missionaries said to themselves, how did we get that so wrong? Because little Misha's got it right. Misha said, my mom and dad have forgotten me. But God is my God for always. Folks, if you want to give the right gift this Christmas, what's it going to be? A PlayStation 46. No. What's it going to be? Give something that will never, ever get old or go away. You know what that is? Your forgiveness and the love of Christ. Can you do that? That's giving the right thing, and it's coming to the right place. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for all the things that gathered around the original Christmas story. The one thing that sticks out, Lord, is that you gave. And you gave us a son, Lord, your son, who would be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You gave your son, the one who would come to give his life as a ransom for many. And that's because of him that we can declare peace on earth and goodwill toward men, because there is peace between you and us, because of what Jesus did. But Father, all we need to do is accept that by faith. Father, we need to understand that Jesus came to give his life, and he gave it for all those who would accept him. So, dear God, we pray that you would touch every heart, Lord, every mind in this place. And, Lord, and in due time, we pray that you would bring every lost soul to the truth. Lord, we love you. We thank you for a Savior like Jesus. Lord, help us to celebrate in the right way this year. Not so much in all the gift-giving and gift-grab, but, Father, so much more in the love-giving and the forgiving. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.